to Influential Visions. Here, we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. My name is Nathaniel Schooler, and I am your host. Thanks for tuning in. Great pleasure to be relaunching another episode of Influential Visions. We've been a bit quiet for a little while, and we decided that we were going to broaden our horizons and invite some amazing co-hosts onto our show. We've already had some amazing guests. We're up to nearly 70 episodes so far. So we're literally just in the process of building out another 10 episodes. And Nish Ranazinghe is our host for these new technology series that we're building out. And I'm privileged as well to be joined by Kim Adel Randall, who I've been working with for the last year and a half. And we've been delving into all sorts of topics, as you probably are aware, on imposter syndrome and management, leadership, branding, all sorts of topics. But it's lovely to have you both with me today. And yeah, I'm really excited about all of the interviews that we're going to be doing.
Me too. It's a real delight to also be working with Nish again, because we worked together last year too, didn't we, on our book, which is where we got started. And that's where the idea came from for this series, which was really, how do we start to help people understand what's going on at the moment in the technology industry and how they can get more involved? And Nish, tell us a bit more about you and your background, please.
Yeah, first of all, it's really exciting to be here. I'm really looking forward to this series. So my background is in technology. So I started when I'd just come out of university, started in a data company, and didn't really think that I would end up in technology, being here for about 15 years. I've worked across different industries, across different countries, passionate about not just technology, but change in technology, and being clear about something. I'm not a technologist. I'm not a developer. I have done a little tiny bit of coding, if you could call it that, at university, but I'm very much, my background is in business analysis, which is effectively the business side of technology. So my expertise is transitioning a piece of code into an application and then giving that to a set of users to actually use. And my passion for change in technology is really around making sure that if a piece of technology is built, it's actually accepted by its users, in so it can flourish really wherever it is being implemented. So yeah, that's my background.
I love it, and it's so true, isn't it? It's like, you know, we have so many organizations that spend a fortune on implementing systems or technology, but if it's not done properly, if the change isn't accepted by the people using it, then actually that can be an investment that's just goes badly wrong. And it really is about how you engage with the people, isn't it, in that transformation, and get them to adopt the new way forward and really embrace it. So how do you think we best go around doing some of that?
So there's a few elements to this. I think from my perspective, it's always been engaging people early on. So what you often get in organizations that I've worked in is that you've got a CTO or somebody like that who's really passionate about a new technology, really interested in bringing that into a business. And they will have it developed. They'll bring on a huge development team. They'll hire for it. But then the users have no idea about it. So you've got this real disconnect between the people bringing on the project and sponsoring it and all the way down to the people who are using it. And often I would have been the person going in saying, hey, you know that you're actually adopting this new technology, and people wouldn't know anything about it. So it's really bringing people along the journey who are going to end up using the platform. And then, you know, really listening to what it is that their issues are, what their pain points are. So often with technologies that I work with, I'll start with that. It's not about what the potential for what you're doing is. It's more to do with actually hearing what people's issues are and really understanding those so you can implement them correctly so they'll use your platform.
I love it. And it's so true, almost in whatever walk of life that we end up in, as we keep coming back to this, is that it's always, you know, we think about, oh, it's technology or it's manufacturing or it's financial services, but whichever industry we're in, it comes down to people, doesn't it? And how we engage with people, how we listen to them to understand what's important to them and what their concerns are. And then we find a way a way through that. And I guess that's really why we came to this series, isn't it? Is to start to be able to break down some of the myths and some of the mystique that sits behind technology and change, and help people to understand how they can really get involved and not feel fearful of what's happening and drive that forward.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fascinating topic, really. The amount of billions of pounds have been wasted over the last few decades by badly implemented systems, court cases between vendors and companies who basically hired them to implement systems that never got delivered. And there are, you know, the internet is strewed with these sorts of cases, and actually the figures are obscene. And, you know, if you think about how many people that would have been upset about this, how their culture within the business would have been damaged, and actually really just the morale and the staff retention that would have been actually affected as well, because no one got buy-in from the word go, right? And, you know, we've talked about this before, both of you guys with me a little bit, and it's just absolutely shocking, really. So yeah, I mean, I think the culture piece is just absolutely key, isn't it, within implementing all of these things and understanding each person, being inclusive within the environment is absolutely crucial. So I'm really looking forward to kind of digging deeper into this over the next 10 episodes and beyond, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you mentioned there, Matt, on the how the culture is affected. I've been in organizations where you come in, and I've been really excited to really introduce this new product, and I'm just in a sea of blank faces, just completely fatigued, because this happened. The same people had a different technology company come in and try and implement their technology, and it's just a huge amount of disillusionment, really, with IT departments, new technologies. Often what will happen is that they'll be really excited from the start, and then it just starts to wane when delivery cycles get longer and longer, or budgets get cut because something hasn't been delivered, and then they end up using whatever they were using before, or going back to spreadsheets, anything like that. So I completely, that's exactly what happens. It's just a cycle of terrible delivery, basically. And so my intention always when I come into a new project is to really bring those people along, understand people, what makes them tick, if they're from different backgrounds. That's part of, we've got a kind of episode thought process of having something about change champions and critics, trying to change people's minds, people's attitudes. I've always thought that it's a really interesting area to work in from even a psychology perspective, trying to get people to accept your change and influence people to really take on what it is that you're doing. And so it goes far beyond just the technology that you're using. You can have the best product in the world, but if no one understands it and no one uses it, then you'd be kicked out of that company pretty quickly. So yeah, it's super interesting and completely about people. That's completely right, Kim.
Absolutely. And Kim kindly taught me a lot about scope creep, project scope creep in the past year and a half. I was like, what the hell is scope creep, right? And she taught me all about this and actually what it's like being both sides of the purchase, right? So what it's like to be a vendor, and also what it's like to be actually on the other side and actually working with a vendor to implement. And she shared some really interesting insights with me around that, and how, you know, the power of the stakeholder within the relationship is fascinating, and how that can kind of affect the scope creep.
Well, there is, and there's obviously lots of different random terminology that we throw around in projects as well. And hopefully that's going to be one of the things that we get to as part of this series, is demystifying the jargon, because we do love a bit of jargon, don't we? Love to throw the odd word out there that nobody has any idea what we're talking about. And then we wonder why people don't accept the change. Well, they've not understood the change, and none of us want to feel stupid. So I think if we can kind of help people understand what we mean by some of the phrases that are being said, and then that helps as well, doesn't it? So that people can feel included and feel like they understand what's happening to them and are part of the change rather than the change being done to them.
Absolutely. And even if at the end of that episode, we could get people to speak up when they're in a meeting and say, do you know what, I don't understand what that meant, then I think we've won, because you're absolutely right. Jargon is just something that people like to throw out just to make themselves feel clever, I guess. And I think we've all fallen into the trap of just nodding along. But it's particularly important in technology changes and making sure that people are fully versed in what it is that they're doing.
No, I completely agree. And I was going to share an example. I was in a board meeting a few years ago, and everyone was throwing around like jargon. And I remember sitting there and saying, "John, I think we really need is a few more TLAs." And all these people nodded at me, and I was like, "Brilliant." Who'd like to take the action to get us some more TLAs? And it went a bit quiet. And then this one little hand eventually put the hand up and went, "I don't know what a TLA is." And I went, "Thank you so much for being so brave. It's a 3-letter acronym, because none of you have got any idea what you're talking about." Because just in this room, I said, we were talking about T's and C's. I said, I think you two at the top of the room, you think we mean training and competence, don't you? And they're like, yes. I said, and you people down here in product, you think we mean terms and conditions? Yes. I said, both are valid. Both are completely different. So you don't actually know what we're making decisions on, because you've not checked what term we're actually using. And so the only reason I share that is to say, unless we can be really clear and really honest with each other, we're going to make wrong decisions that could cost the organisation a fortune because we didn't understand what it was that we were basing our decision on. And you see it all the time, don't you? So I think if we can use this series as well to break some of those myths and to help people, to your point, Nick, to have the courage to put their hand up and go, "I don't know what that is," it really is amazing how much impact that you can have when you are brave, because it opens the door for other people in the room to also share what they're not certain of as well.
Absolutely. The other thing that you mentioned was stakeholders and the power of the stakeholder, and I think that that's another really interesting one to delve into, because often you'll have technology companies who come in and they will literally do everything that the most powerful stakeholder would want, but it takes a really brave set of people to turn around and say, actually, I don't think that's a very good idea. And that whole idea of pushing back is actually very much, again, another people-focused element, because you can only really gain the confidence to do that once you've gained a relationship with your stakeholder and really gained their trust. And it's a difficult one to bust out of when you've got this vendor relationship, or you've got, you know, you are my customer, that type of relationship. And it really has to be much more of a collaborative experience. So something else that we could touch on as well.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, thank you both. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. I'm really looking forward to digging into this series.
Thanks very much for listening. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections, and don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen.